6. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 82 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with 4-time SEC champion and 2-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, or should I say, this WrestleMania edition of the Miller's Edge. That is taking place this weekend. Now, I know I'm a huge wrestling fan myself. Definitely got back into it a few years ago, man. I took a long time. Grew up watching wrestling, then I kind of took a break from it for a while and got back into it probably about 5 years ago, man. But I'm back full throttle with it. So if you guys are, you know, like me, like Chase Reed and several others, I know we got a number of our listeners that are also big wrestling fans. I know you guys are just as excited as I am because WrestleMania is like the Super Bowl for wrestling fans with WWE. So we got that this weekend, fired up about it. Might take a little bit of a, I don't know, detour to kind of talk about what we might expect. Maybe get some predictions on that. Won't do it too long because I know not everybody's a big wrestling fan, but we got to mention it, man. Like I said, it's like the Super Bowl. If you guys aren't wrestling fans, man, check it out. Don't be like my dad and immediately just say, hey, it's fake. Oh, listen, it's not fake. It's scripted. Okay, there's a big difference because fake would be, all right, they're not really, I guess they're not fully exchanging blows, really. But still, there's injuries. I mean, they do some things. They do some spots that are pretty physical spots, man. So anyway, I'm fired up about that. We'll talk about that. Plus, you know, there's all other things going on. We talked with Greg Robertson yesterday, baseball, softball doing some big things. Maybe talk a little bit about that. Honestly, probably not going to have time to get to it because you know how it goes, guys. We always plan on doing all these things and we never get to it, but we'll try our best. But I do know we got some football to talk about because spring officially concluded yesterday. They had their final spring practice yesterday. Looked like it was just maybe shells. I mean, like a little bit of a lighter day to kind of, you know, wrap things up. Nonetheless, it's over. It's concluded. So now it's time for us to put a bow on the spring. And how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to give out some spring superlatives and kind of talk about who might have been deemed, you know, some top performers, right? Normally they used to do that after the spring game. They used to pass out, you know, physical trophies, but we're not going to be passing out any physical trophies. We're just going to give some recognition to some players that I feel like might have earned it over the spring. So we'll definitely talk about that as well. We were supposed to really dive into this whole projected offensive starter sheet that I made and I posted on X. Yesterday's show kind of just, man, that was a very fun show. Definitely a very fun show. But it just, me, my dad, and we were joined by, of course, Adam, Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education Advocacy, official representation here on the show. Had some really good conversations, some really good debates. Got a little heated a couple times, man, between me and my pops, man. Had to give some pushback, man. He came in hot yesterday and had to set him straight a little bit. But anyway, maybe we'll kind of revisit that and kind of circle back to it and really, I guess, put a quick bow on that. Because I think we did it like at the end of the show, like after we got off air. So for our radio listeners, I got to go ahead and give you guys the rundown on who we put on our projected starter list for offense for Alabama 2026. And then talk about some of the notes that I wanted to address and hit on about that. So we'll probably dive into that first and we'll kind of see where things go. But it is a free-for-all Friday. We don't have any guests lined up, as far as I know. So hit us up on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. If you guys want to get in on the action, we'd love to take y'all's calls. Of course, if you can't, don't worry about it. You can always hit us up here on the streams, right? You can drop your questions, comments, and concerns. Again, we stream live on YouTube at The Miller's Edge, of course, on X as well, and on the Tide 100.9 Facebook page. And speaking of Tide 100.9, if you guys prefer to listen via radio, which we have a bunch of radio listeners, we are a radio show, check us out there. You can always download that app. If you are outside of the area, wherever you're at, you can check us out. If you download that app right there on your Google Play Store, Apple App Store, depending on whatever smartphone or device you have. Completely free. Stay up to date with all the shows, plus all the news that they drop. So make sure you guys definitely pay a visit and download that if you haven't done so already. So that's pretty much what we got in store today. A couple other things that have come up online on X that I've seen that I felt were pretty, you know, worthy of maybe a conversation here or there, especially regarding some of this NIL talk that's been coming up. Speaking of NIL, if I get one more guy messaging me asking about the buyout thing, because I'm sure you guys remember this, like former players, if you played during a certain window, you were eligible to receive or to sign up for some NCAA back pay, which thank God I was included in that. Now, a couple of my years weren't, unfortunately, but still not going to complain. However, the thing is right now, man, there's so many firms and agencies that are looking to like buy out our deals, which I get it. It makes sense because the way it works is the back pay is scheduled to be paid over the course of like 10 years, really long time. A lot of people don't want to wait 10 years. And I think it's like split up throughout the 10 years. A lot of guys are going to be impatient. Some guys may have some things that they need to do, some things to take care of. So it makes sense. But man, when I tell you guys, I get a message like every few days of advice, and it's always other former college athletes. And they're always just like reaching out like, hey, have you heard about settlement claims? Have you ever? And I'm like, goodness gracious, man. So anyway, I've been fending off those things. But back to the whole NIL point. Steve Sarkisian, he sat down on a podcast with Marshawn Lynch and Michael Robinson, and he had some interesting stuff that he was talking about. Now, the goal was I was going to play the snippet. It's only about 2 minutes, two and a half minutes, something like that. I wanted to play it during the show. However, big thanks to Marshawn Lynch, man. I mean, I guess the podcast isn't like an official radio show or anything. So he just was using the language that he typically uses. So unfortunately, we can't play this snippet. But I wanted to talk a little bit about it because Steve Sarkisian was basically breaking down the whole, I guess the process, right, of really building a roster right now in college football when it comes to, you know, designating a certain amount of money to certain guys and, you know, some of the issues that come and the challenges that come with paying a lot of money for, you know, certain positions out of the high school ranks because you're expecting those guys to be able to play and that money's going to take away from other guys that could go get. So the way he'd explained it, which I'm sure a lot of people would understand, but hearing it from him himself, you know, head coach for a university, prominent university, a school that is very active with NIL, I thought it was a very interesting conversation. It made a lot of sense about the approach that many of these teams are now taking and how college football looks totally different, something that we've been talking about over the, you know, the course of the last few days. Kind of got into it with my dad a little bit because, you know, I make a comment about readjusting expectations. And that's not to say that you don't expect Alabama or any of these prominent schools to be competing for national championships. It's not that, but just knowing how the landscape is so much different and using the examples of the Texas Techs and the Indianas and all these schools that went from, you know, irrelevancy to all of a sudden they are national title contenders and not just, you know, a one-off. I mean, they've now put their programs on the map due to financial backing. Then to hear Coach Sarkisian talk about building a roster, it just makes you realize, man, like, you know, we talk so much about it feeling like, you know, a pro sport, but actually hearing him go over the logistics of, hey, you know, we got to be mindful of not paying this position group out of high school so we can put it to this and this. And it just was very interesting. So I'll try to, I guess I won't play the clip. Maybe we'll do it during the break because of the language and then we'll respond to it. Sorry, hit my microphone for a second. But anyway, we got plenty of stuff to dive into. But first, we'll definitely hit us a timeout to stay on schedule before I get ahead of myself. But I want to ask you, Reed, real quick, man, because you're a wrestling guy too, man. You plan on watching WrestleMania this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to touch a little bit. I think mainly, though, this weekend I am going to the Morgan Wallen concert, so I know that'll take
up. Oh, my God.
Let me explain.
I don't blame you. Listen, if you pay that much money for those tickets, you damn sure better get your money for it, so I'm not blaming you.
That's
on
the thing.
Front.
It was a Christmas gift because I've never gone to a concert before, so this is my first one. So that's
fair
why,
enough.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm not knocking you. I'm giving you a hard time. Listen, I've never been a big concert person. I was talking about it yesterday, I think it was. But to be fair, it's going to be a great experience, I'd imagine, for you. First time of them doing a concert in Bryant Denny, and I don't know how long. Morgan Wallen's got a bunch of bangers, man. I know there's some, you know, some of the older generation are not a big fan of, you know, some of that new style country they don't think is real country. But, hey, good music is good music, and he makes some good music. So, now I'm giving you a hard time. But me personally, if I were you and I had tickets, of course, I'm taking advantage of them. They're very expensive. And you said they were a gift. But for me, man, you know, I got Hulu on my phone, which gives me that access to live TV. Best believe I'd have WrestleMania pulled up on my phone, which I think it's going to be through ESPN. Nowadays, they make you have like every single subscription possible. Yeah. So I don't even remember. I'm like, wait, is it going to be live?
It's going to be on this one? Yeah.
I think it's on ESPN now. So for anybody that's like, hey, I kind of want to check it out, man. I haven't watched wrestling in a while. Hopefully you have ESPN or ESPN Plus, whatever it's going to actually be on. But it is, it's two nights, Saturday and Sunday. I'm going to get the grill going. I'm going to fire up the grill. I'm going to smoke some wings. Probably throw some burgers on there too, man. I'm going to have a good weekend. And I'll probably just listen to Morgan Wallen from my patio, man, because I can hear a lot that goes on in that area because not too far. So we'll definitely we'll have some fun with it. We got to hit this timeout. We come back. Let's start with our recap on the offensive starters, since we were supposed to get to that yesterday and kind of waited until after we get off air. So we'll circle back to the offensive starters, just run over that real quick, get y'all's thoughts. If you have any ideas or changes that you would make, we'll discuss that. Then we'll roll into some of these spring superlatives, top performers of the spring. At least I'll give my thoughts. I want y'all's thoughts, too, because I want you guys chiming in on this, even if it's just from what you saw at A-Day. We'll take that. We'll discuss it. And then we'll dive into some of these other topics as we roll through this free-for-all WrestleMania edition right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick time.
Feeling and performing better. All you have to do is stop by Game Day Men's Health at 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa for a free consultation.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
WrestleMania edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, we're going to get to some phone calls here in a minute. I see we got Hunter on the line. I know we got some folks want to get on the lines, and I promise we're going to get to that. Let me just knock a few things out first, then we'll dive into some of that. But first, I want to recap on this, because we ended up really doing it after we got off of air, and literally this was supposed to be like what we were doing yesterday. We just got sidetracked. Because the Captain of Pain, shout out to Mike for that nickname. That was absolutely gold. The Captain of Pain had a lot to say, and we had to get into a little bit of a heavyweight battle for a minute. But predicting offensive starters following the spring now that it's all finished up. I mentioned yesterday, man, I would say about 75% of these spots I felt comfortable with, at least just kind of throwing them on there. There's a few that definitely left me a little bit. I had to go back and forth, and ultimately I just settled it and said, all right, I'll just throw these in my notes. So here we go. So if you guys are listening via radio, I'll explain it in detail. But if you guys want to see the graphic and get to, you know, see the faces, heights, weights, and all that, the graphic is on our X right at the Miller's Edge. Or I got it pulled up right here on the stream, which we're streaming live on YouTube and on X as well. So let's start with the offensive line. Center, we got Rayson Delgado. I think that's pretty, you know, easy to put him there. A lot of praise from Ryan Grubb. Getting to see him this spring, man, I thought he looked good. I like the intensity that he plays with. You know, what I saw on tape, a guy that was finishing through the whistle, a guy that was looking to have some of those, you know, those finishes, those pancake blocks trying to drive guys in the ground. I mean, he's carried that over here to Tuscaloosa, and I think he's going to be a nice addition coming from Cal Poly, same school that Josh Cuevas came from. So we got him penciled in at center. For the guards, Michael Carroll, he's working at right guard right now. We're sticking with him there. I'll get to that, how that could look different here in a second. At left guard, I like Will Sanders, right? Did some good stuff last year. I feel like he's a scrappy player as well. Just overall, man, I hadn't seen anybody else this spring, because there's been opportunities given he's been out, where somebody has impressed me enough to where I would believe that they would have a better impact than necessarily he would. So I went ahead and went with Will Sanders, even though he hasn't participated in spring practice, just kind of looking ahead and going off kind of the guys that I did get to see this spring. I'm just going to stick with Will Sanders. At tackles, we got left tackle Jackson Lloyd. We already know, penciled in the starter there, pretty much named a starter by the staff, so that's pretty easy there. Javon James with Michael Carroll at right guard, he is your right tackle, right? So That's the offensive line group. I think that was one of the easier ones given what we've seen. Now, I will say there could be a couple different changes here, and I'll get to that here in 2 seconds. Let's move along. We got the tight end positions, right? And just to reference, I'm going to name 12 guys, and only 11 can be on the field, but this is typically how you do starters, because whether you're in 11 personnel or 12 personnel, right, just depends on what it is. Just like on defense, if you were in base, and like I was a starter in base, but then in nickel, we had a starting nickel or a star. So for the tight ends, I got two of them. For the Y, which is your inline tight end, the guy that's more responsible for blocking, right, being in the core, helping out in the run game just a little bit more, we got Josh Ford, 6'6", 267. He's a physical guy. One of the main reasons they wanted to bring him in here. Hell, we've even seen him, you know, get back in that fullback spot when they've shown like some eye formation during A-Day. So really like him and think he's a solid addition. And, of course, Caleb Edwards, man. I didn't realize both those guys were pretty much the same size, man. They're both 6'6". One's 268, the other's 267. But some really serious size at the tight end position. But we all know the receiving threat that Caleb Edwards is, and I think he's getting better as a blocker, right? Being a little bit more physical at the point of attack, definitely something he's trying to work on. So those two guys, I like the group, and those are the two starters that I have. Moving out to receiver, this is where I had a little bit of trouble. Ryan Williams, I got him at the Z. Latsier Brooks, I got him at the H or the slot. Those are pretty easy for me, but at the X, man, you know, Noah Rogers was pretty easy. We already knew that Noah Rogers was going to be that third guy. At least that's how it was trending this spring. However, we all know he had an unfortunate injury during A-Day, which is going to sideline him for probably a good portion of this football season, opening up the door for some of these young players that showcase what they could do during A-Day. I looked at who we had, and I looked at kind of, you know, positionally how they fit. And I had Sadarian Morgan. Well, first I had Derek Meadows because he was primarily playing X. If you go even just watch A-Day, you see he played primarily X. Sadarian Morgan was actually really playing inside, right? We saw him line up at slot a number of times. So, and then I know Rico Scott has been mentioned. I know some people are wondering where he was at on there. Again, this is just a starting list. There's going to be a lot more guys that get playing time. These are just my starters. I didn't have enough room to really fill out a whole depth chart. But Rico, to me, he's not an X receiver. So if you are going to throw Rico in that lineup, I could say maybe move Ryan to X, throw Rico at Z because Rico is a Z receiver, at least most of the time you see him there, which a lot of these guys can play different positions, but I'm saying primarily where you might see them at. And so I really was going back and forth between Derek Meadows and Sadarian Morgan, which I really wanted to put Derek Meadows here because, number one, he's primarily been playing X, and two, he's been doing a really dang good job, and he's been impressive at the position. He's also older by a year, which doesn't really mean too much, but sometimes, you know, you give that guy the nod because where he's at in the pecking order, you give him a chance at least, right? But the reason I ended up putting Sadarian Morgan here was because I feel like there's a chance that Derek Meadows ends up getting the nod initially, but I think just over the course of time, after seeing what I've seen out of Sadarian Morgan, I think it's going to be hard to not have him in that lineup. Regardless, he's going to get a lot of play, whether he's starting or is Derek Meadows. But, I mean, he's got the prototypical size for an X, even though they've been using him at a number of positions. And it's that reason that I ended up throwing him in the starting lineup, because I just look at it like, he really has very good positional versatility, right? I mean, the fact that he can line up inside, but he's got the prototypical size to play the X. I like him a lot, and I think over the course of the next few months, man, he's only going to improve, and I could see him, you know, eventually edging out a guy like Derek Meadows. But I did strongly consider just going ahead and putting Derek Meadows there for now, but ultimately I went ahead and gave the nod to Sadarian Morgan. And then, of course, right, the one everybody's been paying attention to, right, the quarterback. Well, I guess I should say the running back first. I went with Daniel Hill at running back. Really like what I've seen out of him this spring. Shed some weight, right? He looks a lot more healthy. And in turn, I think we've seen a much more explosive version of Daniel Hill. He's running behind his pads better. He just looks, you know, much improved, right? Some of the things that I felt like he needed to work on, it's evident that he's been working on those things. And not to mention, he is the most experienced guy in the room. So I imagine he's going to get that nod. I do believe there's going to be a healthy rotation of running backs that you see get a number of snaps, get a number of carries, given that there's been a number of guys that have shown a lot of promise this spring, right? Whether it's A.K. Deer, who's done some really nice things as well. Kevin Riley has stepped up and been impressive. And, of course, you got a guy like Trayshawn Brown, who's really, you know, he was an under-the-radar type player, but has really blown people away with where he's at as a true freshman with the opportunities that he's been given – especially with a guy like EJ Crowell out, which you can't forget about him. We know how special he is. And once he gets back, it's going to be hard to deny a guy like that some carries if he is, in fact, ready or able to contribute. So last but not least, we get to the quarterback. I went ahead and put Keelan Russell here as the starter at quarterback. And the reason I went ahead and rolled with Keelan is I just seen, you know, I already knew what he was capable of doing in terms of, you know, those explosive plays, those wild plays. I've been talking about that. You've heard me talk about this over the last few weeks, man. I mean, he's a young player, but man, some of the things that you see him do, the throws that he makes, the athleticism, he just has that it factor, right? I didn't want to compare him to Bryce Young, but you guys did hear me kind of make the reference. Like, guys like Bryce Young or Tua, you just see them as players and you compare them to some other guys and they have something that's a little bit different, right? And I think you guys got to see what I was talking about on A-Day. I do see a world, I wanted to be clear, I threw this on my notes here. I do see a world where, believe it or not, as good as Keelan looked in A-Day, I still see a world where Austin Mack could initially earn the start maybe week one, right? Because he's also done some really good stuff this spring. We learned that he was banged up at A-Day. And just going off of, you know, seeing some things and talking to some folks, man, he's done some good things this spring as well. And it's way too soon to count a guy out like that. He's also been in the system going on 4 years. I mean, he's a really good football player as well. Now, would I say that, you know, he's ahead of Keelan right now? No, if anything, I'd say like probably at the most, they're probably neck and neck. If not, I think Keelan's probably slowly starting to separate himself. However, knowing what I know about the quarterback position, and this battle is far from over, right? I mean, they've got all summer. They've got all of fall camp. Things can look a lot different down the road. I wouldn't be shocked if initially we see Mack, but ultimately I think it's Keelan Russell's job. And I personally think if this football team is going to try to make a run, which, again, I know a lot of people, including myself, think this year could be, all right, I'm not saying like a, it's not a rebuilding year, but a year where they might see some struggles. They're a very young team, right? A lot of new faces, and maybe 2027, they could be primed to do something even greater. They're not viewing it like that. I mean, we had Coach DeBoer on the show on Monday, right? They understand. I mean, this is Alabama. There's not really a year that you can kind of say, all right, this is a year where we're just kind of just developing some guys. I mean, their goal is to to do everything that they set out to do last year and the year before, right? That's to win an SEC championship. That's to win a national championship. And I just think it takes a certain player as your trigger man. And I think Keelan Russell can provide that. So ultimately, I think he ends up the starter, even if it ends up being a guy like Austin Mack, maybe week one or whatever the case may be. I think ultimately Keelan Russell will be your guy. So that was my projected offensive starter list that I had made. Again, just to recap real quick as we hit this timeout. Rayson Delgado at center, Will Sanders at left guard, Michael Carroll at right guard, Javon James at right tackle, Jackson Lloyd at left tackle, Caleb Edwards as your tight end H, Josh Ford as your tight end Y, Ryan Coleman-Williams, wide receiver Z, Latsier Brooks, wide receiver H, and then Sedarian Morgan slash or Derek Meadows as wide receiver X. And then I had Keelan Russell at quarterback and Daniel Hill at running back. The last note that I do want to mention that I forgot to mention was with the offensive line. I do see a world where if you're not pleased with what you're getting out of right tackle with Javon James, or here's the big or, there is a right, excuse me, or not just a right guard, but a guard that's stepping up, that's showing promise that he could also heavily contribute, right? And you feel good about that, and you think Michael Carroll wouldn't secure that edge a little bit better, I could see them kicking Michael Carroll back out to right tackle and plugging somebody else in. For example, Ethan Fields, you didn't get to see him in A-Day. However, he's been doing some good stuff this spring as well, and say he continues to come along and they like what they're seeing out of him. They want to get him in that lineup. They feel really good about Will Sanders. I could definitely see a world where you see Will Sanders and Ethan Fields at the guard spots and then Michael Carroll back at right tackle. So those are my projected offensive starters. Would love to get y'all's thoughts. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Who do you think are going to be starters for Alabama in 2026 on offense? Want to get y'all's thoughts. 205-342-9904. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here
treating patients from every generation.
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guided.
That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
ZipRecruiter.
Stay locked in, Tide fans. This is Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, let's, Reed, let me ask you real quick, man, before we move on from this, and I want to hit a couple of these responses here in the chat about this projected offensive depth chart, really not a depth chart because it's only got the one deep, but what do you think about this, Reed? Any changes that you would make with my list in terms of offensive starters?
Well, Christian, I first wanted to ask, because this is kind of what I was wondering, is this the lineup that you are expecting to come out as in, like, the first game? Or what is this? I know you said it's offensive depth chart, but is this the full lineup that you expect when the first offense runs on the field against the first time this season?
Great question. Listen, I was kind of, like, conflicted because I'll be honest, it would look probably a little bit different if I was going off of who I believe would take the first snaps when we took field against East Carolina. Because, like I mentioned, I still see a world where Austin Mack initially gets the first reps. You know what I mean? Even if they go into that game where they're kind of splitting duty a little bit as they wrap up the battle, I don't think that's going to be the case. But I can see it happening. I don't know. Like I'm saying is, I would not go ahead and just say it's hard set on Keelan Russell being the starter the very first snap of 2026. As good as he's looked. And I say that for a couple reasons. Number one, like I mentioned, Austin Mack has had a solid spring as well. Now, Keelan Russell, without a doubt, not even close, was the most impressive quarterback on A-Day. But like I told you guys going into it, be careful putting too much just into one practice. Because remember, there still is 14 other ones, right? There's 15 total practices. We only really got to see, if you went to A-Day and that was the only practices you got to see, that's the only thing that you've gotten to see, right? Now, you know, myself and others that have seen some other things, right? But still, even further, I didn't see all 15 practices. So you have to take that into consideration. Then on top of that, you know, when Coach DeBoer joined the show on Monday, I mean, he made sure that he emphasized that, hey, listen, you know, Keelan Russell did some really good stuff, but we're really pleased with what Austin Mack has done. Hey, if we made a highlight reel of what Austin Mack has done this spring, I mean, people would be blown away. Like, Coach DeBoer was making sure he brought that up. He did not fail to mention those things, which I think could be or were two reasons. Number one, he understands that going out and maybe anointing guys prematurely, kind of like Ryan Grubb did, isn't ideal. And the reason I say it's not ideal, because number one, guys read these things, guys see these things. And two, just like we've been talking about, I mean, it sounded like we were nitpicking Ryan Grubb, but it's more so just from a competitive standpoint, man, like, you want your guys, it's a mentality thing, right? You don't really want your guys to even have a hint of complacency. You want everything to be a consistent competition, right? That's how you get the most out of your players. So I think part of it was because of that. But two, I think it's because he wanted to be firm in saying and letting people know that, hey, man, like Austin Mack, I want to give him his praises. This guy has been really impressive too. And he's very much, battling it out and could very much still be in that position. So to answer your question after that whole word salad, It's kind of a little bit of a mixture of both, if I'm being honest with you. For the most part, I think that's who you see take the field for that first snap, except maybe quarterback and then that X receiver. Like I mentioned, I wouldn't be shocked if Derek Meadows gets the first snap, but I think eventually Sedarius Morgan's going to be in that spot. Wouldn't be shocked if Austin Mack potentially got that first, you know, rep at quarterback, but ultimately I think it's going to be Keelan Russell. So that's kind of what I was going off of.
Okay, that makes sense. See, if that's the case, then yeah, I think you kind of pointed out the only two things that really I would kind of look into was, like you pointed out, the wide receiver X potentially being Derek Meadows. And the same thing with if they feel like they can get more value out of Michael Carroll bumping out the tackle and whoever at guard, then yeah, that's also another possible situation.
Yep, and I think that's pretty – listen, and I like the way it looks. I know a lot of responses we got on X, people are really excited about – this lineup. I mean, if you look at it, I mean, you got a quarterback who a lot of people are really eager to see him really flourish, right? I mean, listen, the guy is confident. I want to say he said he was going to win a Heisman in national championship year or whenever he got on the field. I mean, like, this dude is very confident, and he can back it up, man. The dude can play. So you see the explosiveness out of Keelan at the quarterback position, something that people were really wanted to see more of last season, right? You're seeing a wide receiver group that consists of a guy in Ryan Coleman Williams, who, without a doubt, we know the potential that he has. I mean, he's got a ceiling higher than most when it comes to guys playing that position. Lotzier Brooks, he's a special talent. A lot of people say he's, you know, Jalen Waddle-esque. Then you see guys like Sedarius Morgan and Derek Meadows, who I think I'm going to start calling them the Twin Towers, man, for two long, lanky wide receivers. These guys can run. They've got a great catch radius. They've got great hands, both of them. I think they came up with the nickname the Gulf of Mexico for Sedarius Morgan, man. A very, very random nickname there. But anyway, I mean, the dude is very consistent. So I like that. And I think really you look at the rest of it, Reed, I mean, if the offensive line can come together, I think you got enough, I guess, you have enough weapons, in my opinion, to do some really good stuff, to be explosive. I think it's really just all going to be determined by the offensive line play, really, which we've been talking about for months. I think everybody's kind of on the same page at this point, man. Everything is kind of riding on that group, and hopefully we can get the most out of them. But, yeah, I think it's a solid bunch, man. Now, I do notice the inexperience. I do notice the youth. Even just looking at this group, I'm like, who the hell are the leaders, right? If we're being honest here, I'm like, I mean, Ryan Williams, one of the most experienced players, if not probably the most experienced guy on this list. So I'm like, is he a leader? Which, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he hadn't been a leader, but I'm like with his personality and stuff, he kind of comes off like a little bit laid back, reserved. I'm like, we're going to need some guys to really step up. So that's one thing that I do, I guess, have a little bit of a concern over. You imagine your quarterback's going to be a leader and step up. I would assume that would definitely be the case, but man, there's just so much youth and inexperience. That's the only thing that does kind of concern me. I'm like, I don't think we have a bunch of, like, I don't know, leaders at this point. So you got to hope that those guys figure that part out, because that is very important. All right, let's do this. Let's go ahead and hit this next timeout a couple minutes early. That way we stay on pace. When we come back, we'll go to the phone lines. I know we got Hunter on the line. We'll hear what he has to say. We'll see if he's got another good topic, man. See if he can be, like, what, 3 for 3? I think he's 2 for 2 for sure. So we'll see what Hunter has to say. Real quick, before we do that, let me remind you about our friends over at R&R Cigars. If you're looking for a place to go hang out this weekend, you got baseball and softball action. Hell, you got WrestleMania. You want to go smoke a cigar and go watch WrestleMania? Why not? Kick back and relax. You can go do that over at R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fitz Street, right here in Tuscaloosa. Or if you're not local, but you still need to re-up on your product, probably a bad usage right there. Anyway, go to their website, rnrcigars.com. You can order those cigars from their website. Use that code Miller's Edge, and it'll get you 20% off. And if your order applies, you can get free shipping as well. So check them out. Can't forget about the drink. They got over 160 bourbons. Drink responsibly. And they've got everything for you that you can imagine right there at R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fitz Street, the official cigar sponsor of Alabama football since 2014. Quick timeout. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge.
What's next on the Deep South College Football Show with Wyatt Fulton?
Coming up on the Friday edition of the Deep South College Football Show, we'll head on up to Old Rocky Top as Tucker Harlan of Ball's Wire there helps us break down the quarterback competition between George McIntyre and Faison Brandon for the Volunteers, all starting at 1 o'clock here on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
The Deep South College Football Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 to 2 on the free Tide 100.9 app. Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the
with a lifetime powertrain warranty.
Lease 2026, Honda Civic Sport, zero due at signing, 36-month lease, 10,000 miles per year, closed end lease, no security deposit required, exclude tax, title, license, and dealer fees. With approval from Honda Financial Services, offer ends 4/30/26.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy.
Or call 800-544-7357. 800-544-7357. That's 800-544-7357.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A summer-like afternoon, mostly sunny with a high at 89. Clear tonight, below 66. For tomorrow, partly sunny, the chance of a shower by late afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms are more likely tomorrow night. The high tomorrow at 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9. 1230 WTBC. All right, we went over our projected offensive starters. We still got to get to our superlatives, right, for the spring. Who stood out the most? We'll talk about that here in a moment. But first, let's take a quick timeout from all that, and let's go to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Hunter up first. Hunter, welcome in.
How we doing, Christian?
Good, man. Can't complain. How's everything, bro?
It's going good, man.
Good, man. Good. What you got for us today?
All right, Christian. So, what's something Bama fans think is a strength right now, but is actually a concern?
Golly, man, this guy has all these philosophical questions that make me think, man.
I'm sorry.
That's good. No, I like it. That's what makes it good. You know what, man? Maybe next time we do an interview with somebody like Coach DeBoer or something, maybe I need to like pick your brain or like bring you on board and let you ask some of these questions. Because, Lord, man.
Hey.
These questions that make you think.
Hey, hit me with it. Let's go. Let's do it.
Yeah, I might need to task you for that, man. Man, something that Bama fans believe is a strength, but is actually a weakness. Gosh, man. Man, that was really hard. And I'll be honest, I don't even know if I have a legit answer, but I'll do this, though. I'll pick a group that I feel like that I'm not going to say is actually. I'm going to tweak it a little bit. Instead of saying that I feel like it's actually a weakness, I want to say a strength that Bama fans may be, overvaluing, or maybe a group or something that Bama fans believe is a little bit better than I think it might actually be. How about that? I feel like it's close enough. Is that square? Are we good on that?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do that.
I would probably say the defensive line, if I'm being honest with you.
Okay.
I would probably say between the D-line or the linebackers. But and the reason I wanted to tweak it and change is because I want to be clear. I don't think either of those groups necessarily are weak positions or anything like that. However, I do know I feel like right now there's a lot of hype regarding the defensive line. And the only reason I picked that group is, personally, I feel like I still need to see even more. As deep as that group feels and some of the good things that we're seeing, like I like the physical, like Devin Tompkins for me, one thing I was like, hey man, can he be a physical player? Just going off the tape that I saw, I was like, I don't know how physical he is. He's completely proved, not, I wouldn't say prove me wrong, but he's completely, he got my attention watching him this spring, man. I was like, man, he's a lot more physical than I thought he was initially after watching this tape. And I think that's going to pay dividends for a guy like that, especially when we see him play inside. So don't get me wrong. I think Bingley Jones and Terrence Green, they've done some good stuff. But I mean, Terrence Green still has a problem playing too high, right? A little inconsistent. Like, I think maybe A-Day could have given a little bit of a, I wouldn't say like a false confidence, but I think given that the offensive line is not where they need to be just yet, I think it may have made our defensive line look a little bit better than they might actually truly be, if I'm just being honest. Now, again, I could be completely wrong. We could get to the season. They could end up being one of the better units in the country. But from my eyes, I feel like part of the reason they've looked so good is partially about who they're going against. And I just don't think our offensive line is really up to speed just yet. So I wanted to tweak it. I'm not going to say that they're a good group or a group that people are really, high on, but they're, a weakness. I don't think they're a weakness because I think they have a lot of guys that can contribute. I don't think they really have anybody that's like truly elite right now. I like London Simmons a lot. I think he can be a really good football player. I think he's going to continue to develop. I hate that we didn't get to see him this spring because I would have loved to see him working in there next to Devin Tompkins and some of these other players that we've seen. So I like the depth. I like the number of guys that have stepped up. I like Steve Boomwan where he's come along. I mean, he's come a long way and he's looking to be a force. But I want to see those guys continue to take those steps. I want to see them, like being disruptive is one thing, but I want to see it in more than one aspect. I don't want to see it every now and then you're slipping through, getting in the backfield. I want to see that you when you're shedding guys, I want to see you throwing offensive linemen, getting off and making tackles in the backfield, right? I want to see you actively, collapse in the pocket. I want to see you harassing quarterbacks, getting your hands up, batting balls down. Like that to me is when your defense line is a true strength. Like doing your job and setting the tone every night. That's great. But like I want to see them take that next step and really be dominant. And I think they have a chance to maybe get close to some of that stuff. I don't know how high their ceiling is, but I would probably say that's a group that I would say might not be as good as some people are believing just yet. And that's only because it's early in the spring. Now we'll know more as we get closer to the season. But that might be a hot take. 100% I don't know.
I agree with it. 100%. 100%.
Well,
so one
enough.
More question, because this is kind of like for you though. So when you played at Bama, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out of your what was it? 5 years? 4 years?
Yeah, I was here five. Redshirted. Yep.
Five. That's what I thought. Okay, out of those 5 years, what team was the hardest you played against in the SEC?
Like, you mean like another team that we played against?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good question. I imagine I have to pick a team that we lost to. Now, mind you, I only lost like 5 or 6 games total in that whole span. So,
it's only
three or four different teams, yeah. Now I say we, first of all, I mean, I was a very small percent of that, right? There's a lot of good players, a lot of players even better than me, so I'm clear. Man, that's a good question. Now, I mean, Clemson beat us two times when I was here.
Yep.
I'm trying to think between either of those. I mean, they were really good, but like my senior year when they beat us in San Fran, man, I would say that 2018 year when we lost. Yeah, I mean, they had a true freshman Trevor Lawrence at quarterback, but they put it on us, man. They whooped our ass. Let's be honest with you. They whooped our ass that year. We played. If I'm being completely, we really played bad. Like, and that's not making excuses. I'm just being straight up. Like we played pretty uncharacteristic that game, and what happened was unfortunately, man. Like, I hate it because I was a captain that year. But when I tell you, I mean, I tried to hammer it home, man. We got 1 week left. Like, let's lock in. But what happened was we went into the Oklahoma game. We were hearing all the noise. Everybody was hyping up Kyler Murray and Oklahoma and their offense. And Alabama struggles with dual threat quarterbacks. Can they stop Kyler Murray? We took it personal. We went out that first half and we sent a message. And we really jumped on those guys. And then I just felt like there's a sense of almost like complacency slowly creeping in, even in that second half of that game, which they ended up playing a good second half, and things look a little bit different. And then going into California, when we traveled out to San Francisco, man, you could just tell people's attention were being, you know, driven in different directions, whether it was agents, whether it was just being out in California, people just thinking, oh man, we're undefeated. We just beat Oklahoma. We're not really worried about Clemson. You know what I mean? And then you just slowly go into that game and realize our head wasn't where it needed to be. Just, it just was tough. But let me answer your question. I mean, yeah, well, I was going to say, I mean, you got to give respect to that team, but I would say,
yeah, no, you do.
But no, Ohio State, now 2014, this one's overlooked. 2014, my redshirt year, I didn't play, I was just redshirt. When we lost to Ohio State in the Sugar Bowl, it was the first ever college football playoff. When we moved from the BCS to the college football playoff, we played Ohio State, man. And they had, remember, the third string quarterback in Cardale Jones. He took over because, remember, Braxton Miller was hurt. JT Barrett got hurt. So they're on their third string quarterback. They still beat us. And we had a damn good football team. But I don't know if you remember, man, they had like Michael Thomas, Ezekiel Elliott, Joey Bosa.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look back on it, like the players that they had on that football team, they were loaded, man, and had a damn good football team. And that was their third string quarterback playing, and he was slinging it. So I would probably choose between maybe that Ohio State team, maybe one of those Clemson, probably the 2016 Clemson team was good, but we should have won that game. I would say probably between one of those. Maybe I'm forgetting something, but between those two teams, I would probably say they've definitely given us probably the biggest challenges.
Man, don't even remind me when that 2016, Natty.
You, man, dude, listen, I mean, one play, at least a pick play away pretty much from, would that have been, that would have been a back-to-back, yeah, it wouldn't have been, but yeah, back-to-back, we would have been back-to-back national champions, man, but you can't put it on one play there, it really was the last several minutes of that game. I mean, you had a penalty on special teams, I think they got great field position, we had a defensive PI, moved them up even more, and then, yeah, ended up having the pick play, but One thing you can't deny, though. Huh?
I said, let's not get twisted. That could have been a PI on the 2-yard line, but we ain't going to get there.
No. It was offensive PI. But no, I do want to give credit where it's due, though. I want to give credit where it's due. Deshaun Watson took a beat in that game. I mean, dude, he just kept getting up. I mean, Ruben and those dudes were laying on him all game, and he just kept getting up and made throw after throw. I mean, I got so much respect for him in terms of, man, the football player that he is, because he is a damn good football player when he's healthy. And I know all the off-field stuff, but, man, he's a special dude. But I will say this, man, he has some nerve coming. He did all that, then showed up to Tuscaloosa to visit with some girl here and just was, like, chilling in one of the most popular local establishments here. Then a couple of our players politely escorted him out.
Oh, yeah.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Yeah, it was kind of funny, man. But Hunter, hey, good stuff, man. You always got my wheels turning, man. I appreciate you, brother. Hey, and have a good show. You got a show tonight, right?
Appreciate it. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. What time is it? Tell the folks where they can hear it.
7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. On Roadside Sports Coordination on YouTube.
There you go, man. You heard him. Hunter, we appreciate it, man. Have a good show tonight, brother.
Sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. All right, good deal. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Martin Weiss.
Minnesota Lynx forward Nafisha Collier is signing a Supermax one-year, $1.4 million contract. She's the third player in the WNBA to sign a Supermax. In Major League Baseball, the San Diego Padres beat the Seattle Mariners 5-2. Mariners 1-8 on the road. The Padres have won 11 of their last 12. Rockies beat the Astros 3-2. Mike Trout had a home run as the Angels beat the Yankees 11-4. So did Aaron Judge. The Tigers came from behind and two outs in the bottom of the ninth for a 10-9 win over the Royals. Detroit's on a six-game win streak. So is Tampa Bay. The Rays scored three runs in the top of the ninth inning for a 5-3 victory over the Chicago White Sox. The Rangers rallied for four runs in the top of the ninth inning for a 9-6 win over the A's. Giants blanked the Reds 3-3. 3-0. Brewers 2-1 over the Blue Jays. I'm Martin Weiss.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A summer-like afternoon, mostly sunny with a high at 89. Clear tonight, below 66. For tomorrow, partly sunny, the chance of a shower by late afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms are more likely tomorrow night. The high tomorrow at 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 84 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into this pre-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, Reed, we just finished up. We did the offensive starters, got that out of the way, had a great call with Hunter again. And, man, really asking some tough questions, man. Hopefully people don't take that answer the wrong way. Not the wrong way, but, man, it's a tough question. And the question was, if you guys missed it, what group or, like, you know, aspect of this team might – people be really high on right now, but actually could be a weakness, which I wanted to alter because it was hard for me even just now just thinking about it. I don't know if I can say, Reed, there's a group that people look at as a strength that's necessarily a weakness, but I think you could probably say, is there a group that is maybe a little overrated? I think that's maybe a better way of putting it. Did you have anything in mind? Did I miss something? Is something that you want to point out? I was trying to go over all of it. I mean, scratch out the offensive line, right? Just do process of elimination. Scratch out the offensive line because I don't think anybody's, you know, overrating them or having them overvalued. So we scratch them out. Considered maybe, I mean, tight ends, it's, I feel like it's, I feel like tight ends, it didn't really apply there. Receivers, you could maybe consider that one. I could see a world where someone could say, you know, a lot of people are really high on the receivers right now, but maybe they're not as good, but I wouldn't call them a weakness. But if you see another year out of Ryan, right, where, you know, he's struggling a little bit, you know, inconsistencies, you know, with the drops and stuff, and maybe you don't have, you got Noah Rogers that's now out, and maybe you're, you know, maybe you're oversold a little bit in terms of like what we saw the young guys during spring at the receiver spot, maybe that spot. Running backs, I don't know if, what about running backs, Reed? I mean, are people really high on the running backs right now? I mean, could we say that could be maybe one? But I'll be honest with you. I don't know. What do you think? Is there anything I missed?
No, I was thinking D-line, and I was also kind of thinking running back, but at the same time, you know, running back not only takes just them, but is also kind of reliant as well on the offensive line. So that one's kind of almost like a double-edged sword, because if the offensive line is not where we think it should be, then, you know, it's going to be a lot of more reliant on the running back, which could make them underperform a little bit.
Yeah, that would probably be, you're right, that's probably a runner-up, or if I had to choose another one, because it does seem like a lot of people are extremely high on really all the backs, whether you're super excited about E.J. Crowell off of potential, because we hadn't really seen a whole bunch of them. You're really excited about a guy in Trayshawn Brown, who's really turned heads this spring, or even just Daniel Hill and A.K. Deere, both guys looking very impressive. Or even Kevin Riley, scrimmage number two, was very impressive, right? So that would probably be another one I could throw in there, right? Maybe... Oh, quarterback is somebody, I think Mike mentioned quarterback. That maybe, that probably would have been a good one. Actually, that's probably one to consider. I mean, a lot of people are extremely high on the quarterbacks right now. That actually is not a bad one, even if you're, it doesn't actually really end up a weakness. But to be fair, people are really high on the spot, but without really seeing them go out there and do it, because they haven't done it yet, right? Neither of them have been starters. It could be viewed as a weakness, especially if they have some serious growing pains or some struggles early on. So really good question, man. I guess the more we talk about it, you start thinking of some other stuff. I still just, like I said, I altered the question because initially I couldn't think of it, you know, think of anything really that I felt applied. But yeah, just the D-line for me, and again, it's, and maybe I'm a little bit overcritical, and I think they're doing better than I anticipated they would be doing. But I just think right now, the way people are talking about them, that's what I'm going off of. Me, I know with my expectations, kind of how I see it, I don't have that view of them. I feel like I have some expectations set that feel very, you know, normal and very realistic. But when I see a lot of people talk about these guys, whether it's some of the new transfers and the way they build them up as if like these guys are, I guess, like first round type guys that are just going to be causing havoc consistently, I don't think we have that personally. So that's why I ended up choosing them. But really good question. Made me think a lot. All right. But, let's keep moving on. I want to get to this point where we can hit this this whole thing from Steve Sarkisian. But I mean, with Marshawn Lynch's language, man, can't really play it on the radio. So I'll probably play it during the break, and then we'll discuss it a little bit, and I'll explain to the best of my ability. But let's just keep moving along, Reed. I know we got these spring superlatives right now. I forgot to get every single detail on which ones we're going with, but. We'll just start with the basic ones, and I'll throw out kind of my thought, and then I'll give you the floor, Reed, and then we can let the chat respond and all that. But let's start with offensive MVP. Now, again, we're kind of doing a little bit of a blend, right? We'll talk about top performers for in y'all's mind from either A-Day mixed with some of the intel and some of the things, and I guess I'll pretty much do the same thing as well. So I think for offensive MVP, man, I think it's pretty easy to go ahead and go with Keelan Russell here. Again, threw for four touchdowns. I know there's people that are going to bring up the fact that they should have been sacks, whatever. But that was the way that the you know, A-Day was formatted. He made some nice plays, was really impressive. And I just have been so impressed with just how fast he's been developing, man. For a guy with only a year under his belt, the command that he's had, his ability to move the ball when he's under center, he's been very impressive for a young football player, man. And he's just been really turning heads this spring. So I got to go with Keelan Russell for my offensive MVP. I see we got Gray in the chat. He says he's going Jackson Lloyd for offensive MVP. Not really mad at that one either. I've been impressed with Jackson Lloyd and what I've seen out of him. I'll be honest with you. So, I mean, I'm not mad at that. Now, I don't know if I can say what his body work has been better than Keelan Russell, but I'm not mad at that answer. That's a pretty good one. That's an interesting one, Gray. Reed, I'll give you the floor, man. You got any offensive MVPs or anybody you'd add to the list?
No, I think Keelan, you know, I think he's no question was the guy. And like you talked about, the fact that he's just developed so nicely and is really starting to find his stride even now in A-Day. And I'm really looking forward to this fall. So, no, I think it just has to be him.
Yeah, I know. I think that's fair. All right, well, let's go ahead and flip it. You guys can still respond to the chat. We'll definitely get back to it. Let's move on to the defensive side of things, Reed. Defensive MVP from the spring. Now, this one, I'm not going to lie, this one was a little bit more challenging, in my opinion, because I don't know if I can think of one guy that really just, like, stood out well above the others. Like, I feel like there's a handful of guys that all did some really good things and kind of all stood out in their own right. You know what I mean? So, like, personally, I think we might have to just say a couple names on defensive MVP. We might have to throw, like, maybe three of these out because I don't know. I couldn't really come down to just one. But I would say here's a couple. Number one, I would go ahead and throw in there Devin Tompkins on the defensive side of things. He wasn't super active on the stat sheet, at least from A-to-A, but just what he's done over the course of spring, just being able to see, like I mentioned earlier, that physicality up front, something I really wanted to see out of him this spring. He displayed that, right? He's shown ability to be disruptive. He's put on display that versatility. I think he's going to end up being a nice, piece for Kay Womack to work with, can help out in a number of different ways with this defense. So personally, I felt like he needed to be on this list for one of the defensive MVPs. Next one, I got to go with Caleb Woodson, transfer from Virginia Tech. We knew how important it was to replace those linebackers that we lost all three from last season. So it was critical that we were able to find somebody that could come in and play a pivotal role there, right? You need somebody. You need your green dot. You need your signal caller on defense. And Caleb Woodson has been very impressive. He put on a few pounds, right? And he's like almost, he's like 238, pushing 240, really athletic, just watching him fly around in the football. He can do a number of things for you. Coming on blitzes, we got to see him, working some games during A-Day, right? Really explosive and did a nice job. So I'd have to go with Caleb Woodson as another candidate for defensive MVP. I'll be honest with you. Like I said, there's so many people that I thought you could just kind of throw in there that had saw Red Morgan had a really good spring and has been really impressive. So this one's tough, man. Maybe we just needed to stretch it out because that's already three guys, right? I mean, if I had just limited to three, I feel good with those three. And there's going to also be most improved and some other stuff that we'll throw in here, but. For right now, Reed, that's what I got for my top three MVPs. How about you? Anybody that you would maybe add or think we're missing right here?
Well, I think you had two of mine. I think Caleb Woodson, we talked about it when he did transfer to Alabama, was could this guy really be the green dot for this Alabama defense? And so far, I feel like he's really kind of stepped into that role. So I think for sure him, as well as, like you pointed out, Red Morgan, just from what we saw last season and that he's carrying and adding on to what he did last season, I think he's going to be one of those, we say it in basketball a lot, like a glue guy, that he can kind of do a little bit of everything, even if it may not show up on the stat sheet, that he's just going to be that kind of guy. And another guy that I thought did really well and kind of really picked back up after, his circumstances from last season was Drake Kirkpatrick Jr. I really thought that he kind of stepped up big, and especially, like I said, with the whole off-the-field issues and then now coming back this next season.
Yeah, no, that's, there's another young DB that I wanted to mention, but I'm saving him for when we get to, most improved awards. So I definitely want to mention some more. But, no, that's he's a good football player. We saw what you mentioned, building off with some of the goods that he did last year. When you watch him play, he obviously has the genes, right? He's got the pedigree. His father was a damn good football player, not only here, but in the National Football League. And I love his physicality. He's got that ball hawking ability. He's a playmaker. He's around the football when he's in there. He's not afraid to lower his shoulder. He kind of has that old school mentality. So I like him a lot, and hopefully we see him continue to emerge. And he's definitely going to, at the very minimum, probably provide some real serious depth in that secondary. So those were our offensive and defensive MVPs for the spring. We got to hit a timeout. Want to get y'all's thoughts while we do that. 205-342-9904 is the number. Up next, we got most improved on both sides. We got most improved on offense and most improved on defense. We'll hit those and a couple other spring superlatives when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149.
393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next
kits and so much more. If your golf cart needs repairs, the pros at Dixie Custom Carts can handle the job. Dixie Custom Carts, Greensboro Avenue in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
From Tuscaloosa to the world,
download the free Tide 100.9 app
for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
This Free-for-All Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're doing spring superlatives right now, passing out awards for the, I guess, the players that sit out the most in spring. Now, we did offensive and defensive MVPs. And, yeah, let's move on to most improved, Reed. All right, most improved on offense. Well, this one might be like a little bit of a – this is going to probably be a long list. Because I've probably got five guys that I want to throw out in this conversation or this topic here. So most improved on offense, number one, somebody mentioned Jackson Lloyd earlier for MVP. I'm going to go with most improved for him right there on the offensive line. I thought he's been really impressive. He definitely, you know, caught my attention after he was named starter. So I was really wanting to see what he was bringing to the table. And he's done some really good stuff at left tackle, and I think it's really important. You already know that's the quarterback's blind side, and I've been impressed. So without a doubt, I'm going to go most improved for Jackson Lloyd. Also, I got to go from the wide receiver spot, man, Derek Meadows. I'm throwing him in that conversation for most improved. He's done some really nice things this spring and might be looking at a chance to be starting this upcoming fall. In the running back room, man, I got to give an award to Daniel Hill, Reed. After seeing some of those changes that he made physically, he's healthier. He's much more explosive. He's been playing physical, running behind his pads. Man, he looks like he's got something to prove out there. Really impressed with some of the changes that I've seen out of him in his play. We gave Keelan Russell MVP, so I don't think we need to give him most improved, but clearly he would also, qualify for that award. But those are who I got right now. I got Meadows, I got Jackson Lloyd, and I got Daniel Hill. Anybody that you can think of, Reed, that you think I might be missing?
I actually had those similar group. The only one that I would add on to is Rico Scott. I feel like he's one of those guys that really took that next step, and especially, you know, I feel like one of our deepest rooms in this year's class is the receiver room, and so there's so many different guys and so many different combinations that when I was watching Rico Scott, and especially the one catch that he had toward the back of the end zone, I'm not saying like the stakes or were a lot higher, but it reminded me a lot of the Omar Cooper Jr. catch when he had against Penn State, the fact that he got those two toes in the back of the end zone. That really did catch my eye. So I was like, wow, what a catch. And so, yeah, he'd probably be my most improved.
So I'll say this. If we're going just off of A-Day, without a doubt, I would throw in Rico Scott. Only problem with that I had put him in that category was, I know a scrimmage two, I think there's a little bit of inconsistencies, right? In a scrimmage two, there's a little bit of an issue with drops. So after looking kind of at the whole picture, I was like, he definitely, I was considering putting him there because you're right. I mean, he looked great on A-Day. But ultimately, I was like, man, I don't want to put too many people here. But I do, I like the addition of Rico Scott. And hopefully he can build off what he did during A-Day. Because if he can provide that type of presence at wide receiver, I think that would be huge for that room. Because, again, you know, we throw up a starters list on here, but we all know there's going to be at least five wide receivers that are getting some burn. Think about last year. I mean, you had Isaiah Horton, Jeremy Bernard, Ryan Coleman-Williams. Then you also saw a lot of Latsier Brooks. You saw a good amount of Derek Meadows early, Rico Scott. I mean, those are already six guys we just named, right? And those are in that one just like in trash duty. That was really, I mean, just in regular Missouri, right? That's an SEC game. So you need a number of guys to step up. And I think all these guys are going to get opportunities about what they make of it. So, but yeah, no, that's definitely very fair. Somebody in the chat, Davis, mentioned Mac. Fair enough. I don't know if I would put for most improved. I don't know if I would consider him necessarily most improved. I mean, I think he's been building off of some of the stuff, but I'm not mad at it though. I mean, I could understand where you could get that from, and I could understand the Rico one for sure. Trying to think before we move on to defense, there's anybody else, and there's probably a couple of young guys that we might be skipping over. And it's hard to throw the transfers in here too, because they, you know, we didn't really keep up with them. Like, we watched tape on them, but we wouldn't really necessarily know how much of, I guess, of an improvement. I don't know. Trying to look over. Let's see. We didn't see Will Sanders, Racing Delgado. I mean, if you wanted to give him credit for, you know, making the transition and doing some good stuff, I could see that. But Michael Carroll obviously looked really good, but it was almost like you expected that. Maybe Marshall Pritchard. I'm not going to lie. That might be one last one, Reed. Marshall Pritchard. He has had a really nice spring, and I would probably label him in that category. Again, probably missing some guys, but there's only so many that we can name. Let's move on real quick and keep on rolling. I know we got Smitty on the phone lines. I'm going to get to him when we hit this next timeout. That way he has plenty of time. On the defensive side of things, all right, most improved for defense. I forgot to mention his name earlier. I would throw in Justin Hill. He was almost one of my MVPs for earlier, at least an honorable mention, but you got to show love to Justin Hill. Now, I definitely want to keep seeing him, you know, grow with his pass rush, which I know he talked about. I saw him. Somebody wrote an article, I think it was like Touchdown Alabama. They mentioned something about, I guess, him wanting to improve on that area and just keep getting even better there. But I want to give him some credit because he's continued to just, you know, get better and better. And you can tell that he's working at his craft, trying to get even better as a pass rusher. So I want to throw him in that conversation. Of course, in terms of linebackers, man, I've liked, you know, QB Reese and Luke Metz, man. Those guys have done some really good things this spring. Really, there's a number of players in that room, but I just feel like those guys have kind of stood out when they've gotten some reps. I mean, Luke Metz did some good stuff in A-Day. QB Reese, man, you just see the instincts. You just see how he's quick at, you know, diagnosing and recognizing things and reacting and just going and blowing things up, right? I mean, I think he can end up being a really good football player. A little undersized, but he's got a lot of heart, and he does some really good stuff. In the secondary, without a doubt, Ivan Taylor, I got to give him a nod. This guy has been really impressive this spring, man. And I think it's almost to the point where there might be a little bit of a short leash with a guy like Keon Sab or somebody in the secondary. And or even like Zay Mincy, who we saw as a guy that was coming in dime. I'm just saying the way Ivan Taylor has been playing, I think it's hard to deny a guy like that playing time, right? That you're going to try to find some way to carve out a role. And he's done some really, really good stuff. So I got to give some credit to Ivan Taylor on that. And Drake Kirkpatrick, too. I mean, I wouldn't mind throwing him in that category. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anybody on this. Well, I think, Reed, do you have any guys on defense that you feel are worthy of most improved on that side of the football?
I think really the only thing I'd add on to yours, Christian, and you already noted to it.
Oh, wait, Reed, I didn't mean to cut
you
off.
Good. Go ahead.
Literally the main recipient for this award. I Steve Bumwa. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
All good.
I was supposed to lead with Steve Bumwa. I literally skipped right over him because I wanted to circle back to Justin Hill. Steve Bumwa, man, I'm tripping. Steve Bumwa, without a doubt, is probably the most improved player on this football team. If we're talking about from where he came from and what he was doing last season, still kind of getting acclimated, still getting used to, you know, playing in the SEC, a guy that didn't have a whole bunch of football experience, a raw football player, to where he is now. I mean, we knew the physical traits and the God-given, you know, ability that he's been blessed with, but he hadn't necessarily put it all together until this spring, and he still hasn't just yet. But he has come so far from where he was last season. He takes the nod over anybody on the team without a doubt. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but I immediately was like, holy crap, man. He was like my number one for anybody when I said most improved, and I completely skipped over him. Big Steve Bumwa, not even a question. Yeah, I see why I mentioned Justin Hill. Yeah, he was my first guy that I mentioned. I said Justin Hill number one because I wanted to even consider him for maybe even one of the defensive MVPs. So I, without a doubt, had to give it to him for give him the most improved because he's continuing to do some really good stuff and build off all the good stuff we saw him do last year. Now, Reed, did I steal that one? Is that where you were going, or you had somebody else?
No, I mean, I think that was a great one. I think the only thing I was going to add on to yours was really about that mic position. You know, that's something that we really still haven't figured out who's going to be that starting guy, and both QB Reese and Luke Metz both looked great. And so outside of the quarterback battle, in my opinion, I think the next best competitive, like, who's going to get the starting job is between QB Reese and Luke Metz.
Yeah. I think you could even see both, whether it's maybe base or sub packages. I know we've talked about that, but both guys are, I mean, they're pushing each other for that spot. I mean, Caleb Woodson's pretty much penciled in. We know that, but yeah. And I wouldn't count out a guy like Caden Jones either. I mean, he's a big player. I mean, he's like 6'4", can run. You saw him, you know, trying to pull up Keelan Russell on that sprint out in the goal line red zone area. But I don't know. I think it's those two that we named that definitely probably are going to, you know, really, really be in that conversation. At least that's where it's trending. Of course, plenty of time where things can change. So let's go ahead and do this. Let's hit a timeout. We come back. Maybe we'll have one or two awards to give out. We got the Pastor Payne sitting on here. We'll see what he's got to say today. Hopefully he's we'll see what kind of level he's on. But we'll do that when we come back. Plus, we'll go to Smitty on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. Plus, breaking news, according to Wyatt and Jake here in the chat, Will Anderson, the Terminator, former Alabama defensive lineman, linebacker, just signed a 3-year $150 million with the Texans, an extension that is including $100 million fully guaranteed. So big shout out to Will Anderson. I feel like that was a little early, wasn't it? Because Will was drafted in, was it 22 or 23? No, I guess that's about right. Dang, that time flies, man. Dang, shout out to Will, man. Big Will Anderson, big time deal, man. Very much deserving, man. Him and Danielle Hunter, they're the tandem.
He became eligible for an extension, I legit think, a month ago. And they said, okay, we're going to lock this down.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Without, I mean, and rightfully so. I mean, if anybody had, I guess, one guy that they had to pick would be a pretty much lock to have success in the NFL, I think we all could have put our money on Will Anderson. So, not surprising at all. Very much deserving, and a shout out to Mr. Anderson on that 3-year, $150 million deal. Not pocket watching, just announcing something that I feel like he deserves some praise. He's definitely worthy of it. We got to hit timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Ty, one.
Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Find adventure, power, and performance today at Tuscaloosa Jeep Dodge Ram.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Your day. Shop Spring Black Friday Savings and get free delivery on appliance purchases of $998 or more right now at the Home Depot. Offer valid April 9th through April 29th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction.
Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and Strongest Steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation,
it's easy and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, we've been going over our spring superlatives, man. We went over offensive and defensive MVPs. We went over most improved players, both on offense and on defense. And then Hunter just threw in a great one, man. Dark horse candidates, which is a really good one. And we went Ivan Taylor, Steve Boumois on defense, right? Like true dark horse candidates, guys that aren't really expected to contribute a whole bunch, but really could surprise some folks. And then offensively, I think Kevin Riley, people are sleeping on him a little bit. Rico Scott, I think he could end up having a better year than maybe anticipated, especially with Noah Rodgers being sidelined. Yeah, man, those are some really good questions, man. I like questions like this, really good stuff. Austin, real quick, says, from a national perspective and production-wise, I think Rico is a good answer. Yeah, I think that he's fair, and he definitely matches what you would expect from a dark horse kind of guy. Which, if you guys don't know what dark horse means, because I'm not going to lie, for the longest time, I didn't really know what it meant until, I don't know, probably I was like in college, man. But somebody that you don't expect to really emerge, somebody that's not expected to do a whole bunch, but then they emerge and end up being a very critical piece or a much better football player than expected. So really good question there. We got the Pastor Payne joining us here back live from Wright's Quarters out in Hilton Head, I believe. Still there. Yep. Looks like you got a new polo on. Did you go to the pro shop, get your nice new polo?
Yeah, this is my golf attire, you know. I like the pink and blue, you know. We got the blue and gold New Balance on for walking around, get that the dog some support. And yeah, it's good, man. I got a little late start. I was on another radio show with Steve Azar from Mississippi Minute, my good buddy down there. Y'all here on the commercials at Tide 100. But yeah, so just getting here, chilling, hanging out. That's it, man. Just want to update. Fitzpatrick, 13 under par. Kent Lay, who played with my friend Joe Rice, who owns this boat. He shot 64 today, finished 9 under par on the round. Aberg, who was the leader coming into today, he starts at 1:40 Eastern time. Probably not running. Ricky Fowler shot 69-8 under par, and Harris English, he's on number 48 under par. So there's some scores happening here for you golf fans. And some girls over there having a little bit too much fun next
book. Yeah, they definitely sounds like that. Hey, let's get Smitty on here real quick because I want to give him plenty of time. 205-342-9904. Smitty, what you got for us, man? And I know you're excited. You got WrestleMania coming up this weekend, man. You got any big plans?
No, I'm just going to make some wings tomorrow. Might, since I'm off the weekend, I don't have nothing going on. You know, I might, you know, might do some soul food Sunday, though, you know, show them how it's done out here in the desert. You know, but thing is though, y'all kind of cover a lot of the players. I just look at young players, what they're doing, like an Ivan Taylor, Big Steve. And the thing is, I noticed what the staff is kind of doing, because in a portal era, it kind of kills competition. Because we look at quarterback competitions now, like someone had three, like a horn on their head, you know. But it shows like some of these young players are hungry and they will take your spot, as you saw last year. But one question, I'm glad both of you guys are on, because I know both of you guys played in the NFL. These guys, like when people talk about NIL, the portal, all this stuff, and they say these players getting exploited, is it me or because no rules is kind of exploiting the players? Also, on the other side, with the agents taking 20-30%, everybody's on a continuous one-year deal. So I want to ask you guys, been in the league for a bit. How many players y'all play with say, I want to be on nothing but one-year deals? They want that security, right? And the players don't have security either way it goes, you get what I'm saying, get what I'm asking.
Yeah. That's tough, though, because in college right now, it kind of can work out in their favor, as we've seen, where they can just pretty much every year be due for another quote-unquote, you know, deal, right? Another payday, which on one hand, I'm not going to lie, that does kind of work in these athletes' favor. But on the other hand, you're right. Security in the NFL is a really big deal, and guys want that. They want as much guaranteed money as possible because we all know NFL stands for not for long, especially if you deal with some injuries, you get banged up. Your best ability is your availability. And if you're not available, you're not going to get paid. So I see both sides of it. But I don't know if you heard the whole thing about Steve Sarkisian, what he's been talking about with all the NIL stuff. I wanted to dive into that, but it was really interesting him talking about, like, you know, they've got to make a decision, right? When they need the left tackle to protect a guy like Arch, these high school offensive linemen, if you're willing to pay that guy, you know, a couple million dollars, well, more than likely he's not going to be ready to play, and that takes money away from the wide receivers, the running backs they need to get. So it's kind of crazy just hearing them talk about that. It sounds so much like putting together a football team in the NFL, but
yeah, man, that's where you are. That's what college football is. It's just a lower level of the National Football League. I mean, so, yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking about in NFL, of course, you know, that's your last journey, right? So you want the guarantee. We just looked at or talked about Will Anderson, three-year, $150 million extension with a $100 million guaranteed. I mean, that money comes to him unless he just does something silly where they can ask for it back. But other than that, he's probably going to get all of it because he's young. But you won't guarantee. That's money in the bank. But for a young player, you know, they get the kind of year at a time. I mean, because if things don't go as programmed and they have to change the program, go next to a new team or coaches change or something like that, they're able to get out these set deals and go try to make some more money. But it's nothing but the National Football League. And I was talking to some guys right here on the boat last night. And we were talking about it. We started with the LIV tournament. You know, there's talk that the LIV tournament is going to end, that the Saudis are going to pull out all their money. And one of the guys that is dear to us is Dustin Johnson, a great friend of mine, a great friend of the Rice Quarters here. And, you know, he's made $400 million or more. He's bought Tiger Woods' yacht. I mean, he's living life. He's 42 years old. And the thing that I was saying that he's not going to have any drive now to come back and play on the PGA Tour, though very talented, right, highly skilled. But he's not going to have the talent to come back, or the drive, I should say, to come back and, I think, compete at a high level. Why? A lot of money in the bank. Well, it's the same thing with NIL. I just think that college football as a whole is dampened by money. And because these guys now are chasing the dollar, they're not chasing education, they're not chasing, you know, I'm going to be better as a person, I'm going to be more developed to get to the league by going to Alabama or these programs that get great coaching and get developed. Now they're just chasing the bag. And I think it takes away their desire. I think they want one-year deals. They want short-term just because something might happen. Coach may leave, and then they can go do something else. Or, you know, I don't play as much. Or coach makes me mad. I get cussed out. They're going to try to jump ship. And I think it's just a deterrent, and it's really making a horrible effect, I think, with the sport of college football, with all sports. Because all you look for now is portal. That's it.
And I'll say this. And see, everybody talk about, say, Cam Coleman, for example. But there are thousands of players who enter the portal, and that's their last day playing college football. And they got to get a regular scholarship, like a regular education, financial aid, and all that stuff. And because there's plenty of times the coach may say, hey, you may need to hit the portal. We got to replace you. And if you have some kind of security, it's only be achieved through collective bargaining. is that those players be protected as well. And also, their agents won't be taking 20-plus percent, because the agents in the pro sports have 3%, and the cap will go up incrementally, not exponentially. And I think those are some things there, because I don't care how much money the oil man has. They'll get tired after a while. They get no return on investment because Fields and Vibes ain't paying the bills, if you get what I'm saying. But one thing I did want to bring up about Will Anderson.
Smitty, but who's the one guy that you can say via the transfer portal up to this point, what team has got the best return of said investment? To me, that would be like a Carson Beck, right? He leaves Georgia, goes to Miami. Miami goes to play for a national championship game. Up until he got there, I mean, they
were... Fernando Mendoza?
Mendoza. But I don't know if he was a highly paid transfer portal guy. But you know, there's only a few guys that transfer that you're going to get that return. I just think because these kids don't... If they get that money in their pocket, if it's guaranteed, man, they're not going to work. My thing is give them all the same money, right? Because they deserve the money because schools are making so much money. But when you have a incentive-based contract, all SEC, a player of the year, you lead the team in tackles, you lead the team in receptions, you do X, Y, or Z, and you play 50% of the plays, that makes you want to work. That makes you want to go out and get that bag, so to speak, and they stay hungry. And the thing is right now, when you just give them a check and say, put this in your bank for $2 million, huh, if they turn the ankle a little bit, they ain't going to play. They're going to sit over there. It's not going to be the same.
Well, they have been talking. There's been talk about, excuse me, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was just going to say there has been talk about capping the pay for freshmen, right? I think maybe Courtney Morgan mentioned it. It falls in line with what Steve Sarkisian was saying, where, you know, it's hard to really, you know, pay these high school players a whole bunch of money knowing that half the time they're not going to be ready to contribute immediately. Yeah. But these players in the portal are or should be. Yeah. And so I'm not mad at that, because what happens is when you pay these high school players a great deal of money, you know what happens? The rest of your roster sitting there saying, okay, you just pay this guy all this money and he hasn't done crap. I just went and I got 6 sacks for you last year. Now I want this. And that's what's driving up the cost of these rosters, because you pay more and more each year for these freshmen, and the guys in the roster are saying, hey, you need to pay me more because you just paid him this, or I'm going to hit the board, I'm going to go elsewhere. And that's why there needs to be rules. And that's exactly why there needs to be legislation.
One more quick point. I was with a coach, friend of mine, who coaches at Coastal Carolina, right? And I saw that he entertained a young man from Columbia, South Carolina, an edge guy. And his father's a pastor, by the way. He's highly recruited. It's about 30 offers already. Well, he's at Coastal Carolina this past weekend. They love him. And I'm like, okay, how y'all going to get him there? He said, oh, no, we don't pay freshmen. Coastal Carolina said they don't pay any freshmen. And I said, guess what? You had to worry about paying him. Because he got Georgia, South Carolina, Clemson. He got all these other schools. You know what they're going to do? They're going to give him some money. He ain't going to play at Coastal Carolina. I told the coach, you have zero shot. You have zero shot at freshman. That's upper, you know, edge freshman. You might get the lower guy, power five, you know, lower power five guy, but you're not getting the big time recruit. No way.
And I say this before y'all got to run, that it makes sense y'all saying the cap, because Sam Bradford came in as a rookie, made the same amount of money as Peyton Manning. And by the way, Will Anderson, if he played for the Bengals would have paid for another receiver and made Will Anderson sweat and crawl over broken glass for his money. But hey, you guys have a great weekend.
Hey, Smitty, real quick before you go, man, tell me who you got. You got Punk or you got Roman Reigns, man? And then you got Brock Lesnar or Obafemi? I need your two predictions.
I got Oba, and I think Roman's winning.
I hope Oba wins. I hope he wins. We'll definitely be watching, man. You got to support our guy, man. Shout out to Oba, a.k.a. Isaac, former thrower here at Alabama. Smitty, we appreciate you, man. Have a great weekend.
Peace, good brothers.
Yes, sir. All right, let's hit this time out. We come back. We keep on rolling right here at the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
What's next on the Deep South College Football Show? Show with Wyatt Fulton.
Coming up on the Friday edition of the Deep South College Football Show, we'll head on up to Old Rocky Top as Tucker Harlan of Ball's Wire helps us break down the quarterback competition between George McIntyre and Faison Brandon for the Volunteers, all starting at 1 o'clock here on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
The Deep South College Football Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 to 2 on the free Tide 100.9 app. Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-5.
Maybe bring some snacks for the kids. And know that along the way, you're getting quality time with your family.
Paid for by NHTSA.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For
Tuscaloosa Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram.
TuscaloosaCDJR.com.
Example, 25 Dodge Hornet, 32850, dime down, 575 a month, 60 months, 6% APR, plus tax, tag, title to qualified buyer.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A summer-like afternoon, mostly sunny with a high at 89. Clear tonight, below 66. For tomorrow, partly sunny, the chance of a shower by late afternoon. Showers and thunderstorms are more likely tomorrow night, the high tomorrow at 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 86 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
Welcome back into this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Just a couple short minutes left here. But, hey, real quick, let me remind you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education Advocacy. You guys heard from Mr. Adam Lamparello himself yesterday. Always appreciate the insight that we get from Adam when he comes on the show every Thursday. But, of course, got to remind you about this, the good stuff that he's doing with his business, Lamparello Law Education Advocacy, that's responsible for representing so many people in a first-class manner, genuine care, passion, relentless advocacy, and of course, they're going to do it at a very affordable rate, whether that's NIL cases, First Amendment cases, any criminal defense matter, they've got you covered. And on top of that, they even offer things like mentoring, subject matter mastery, application strategy, personal statements, resumes, and of course, long-term academic and professional planning. So if you guys are interested in any of that, that representation or the assistance, they've got you covered. 201-317-5115, or you can always email Adam at lamparello-law.com. Again, that's Adam at lamparello-law.com, or the website lamparello-law.com, the official representation here on the Miller's Edge. All right, Pastor Payne, we only got 2 minutes left, man. Anything on your mental you want to get out there real quick before we head out of here?
No, it's Friday. It's Friday, as they say, man. So just no football going on, no basketball going on. So
UFL. You got Birmingham Stallions. They got their first home game. Gucci Mane is going to be performing.
Gucci Mane.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, whoever he is. But
come on. You don't know who Gucci is?
He wear Gucci.
I'm sure he probably wears plenty of Gucci.
If you name Gucci, then Gucci should sponsor him. But,
I don't know if they necessarily align, but sure.
No, I'm just looking forward to the weekend, rest of the weekend, getting back home and getting back on the golf tournament. So that's about it, man. I'll be, like I said, getting ready this summer, get through that, and then get ready for football season, and so we can get us another award. I don't know, what's the national best sports talk show? But that's what we're aiming at. We're not going to be selling for the Abby Award. That's a good thing, you know, but we want big money. We want the big paper. We got to chase the big paper.
We are extremely blessed, honored, and grateful for our 2026 Abby Award for Best Sports Talk Show Media Market. But I do like the thought process in terms of just.
Well, yeah, just like we talking about these kids, you got to stay hungry, man. You can't get complacent. He can't get satisfied just making the team. I want to be the playmaker of the team, right?
There you go. Absolutely. Always striving for greatness. Well, that'll do it for us on this Free For All Friday. Big thanks to everybody tuning in via radio, via our streams, YouTube, X, Facebook, everything. We got you covered. And we appreciate all the support. And we look forward to seeing you guys on Monday right here on the Miller's Edge, Tower 1.9, 1230 WTBC. Got some draft talk next week as NFL draft will be taking place.
Yeah, Ty Simpson, baby. Let's go. Pick number 48.